glow, we glow. Sailor, sailor, sailor. Sailor, sailor, sailor. Sailor, sailor, sailor. Halo, halo, we glow. Sailor, sailor, sailor.
The year of the snake and the year of bird. We are new nation coming up in the earth. This is a paradigm, cause it's about that time for a halo to shine, to shine.
Hi everyone, I'm starting, so let's get going today. All right, tell your friends, everybody join in.
Hi, I'm Empress Sharon Ng, bringing the truth of our stolen history. The mothership has landed. She is your modern day Noah's Ark, bringing knowledge and understanding of your lost past. Get ready for enlightenment with eyes can see.
Hi, everyone. Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining. Tell everyone to come on in and let's get this message for today. So, let's start off with prayer. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, thank you for blessing me with this platform to be able to teach and instruct your children through the word of God with that which you have given to me. Thank you, Father, that this word may enlighten and open the eyes of your children's hearts of understanding, that they may get this knowledge and that this knowledge may increase in their hearts and wake them up, Father, as to who they are and whose they are, and that the church may join in, because this, they are a part of this too. But thank you, Father, for this word going forth, and that enlightenment will come. In Jesus' name, amen. So today's topic will be war in heaven. We're going to discuss, last week, actually, we were discussing about the Dark Ages and why that term was called the Dark Ages. As I was saying, that the Dark Ages actually refer to the black rulership. Those were the Jacob Knights. And you know Jacob's name, if we go to the biblical studies, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So that is who we truly are today. Our name was Jacob, but it was turned into Israel. If you look in Genesis 37, that story is there. So the children of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, I told you guys, was exiled out of the land in about 721 B.C., They were the 10 northern tribes, and they were exiled into all the world. They were sent into the four corners of the world, and wherever they went, they started kingdoms. So that's why you hear of all of these great kingdoms that once survived, and then you see the relics, you know, the relics of those kingdoms. And you see the archaeological finds coming out of the ground, you know, showing who had those kingdoms. And the archaeological finds that are coming out of the ground look like us. Those people are our skin complexion. That's showing you who ruled, you know, back in the times of Great Britain, you know, back in the BC age. Great Britain, Russia, Germany, Europe, all of those places. Those were the Northern Ten Tribes. So let's talk about this again. Introduction to the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages is a term often used synonymously with the Middle Ages. It refers to the period of time between the fall of the Roman Empire and the beginning of the Italian Renaissance and the Age of Discovery. Many textbooks list the Dark Ages as extending from 500 AD after Christ, y'all, to 1500 AD. Although it should be noted that these are approximations. So, from 500 AD to 1500 AD, we do find a lot of information. The 30 Years' War happened during that time. You had all types of wars that happened where black rulership was fallen. It had fallen. And they were going through wars. Actually, they started going through wars with each other. You know, Jacob Knights, they were at war with one another. And that was the Northern Ten Tribes, how they turned against each other and they started fighting one another. That weakened them. And that's how the people that were designated, like we find in Genesis 10 and 5, how we find those nations who are called Gentiles, how they came into their lands. But the Jacobites were ruling. They were the actual rulership at that time. And how the Jacobites were fighting among themselves that weakened them and the people of the land, the Caucasian people of the land who originally, you know, were assigned those lands, came into those lands. And then, you know, they started to take over. Like, as I said, back in 1000 AD is when the Ottoman Turks kingdom fell and they disbanded. You had one group that went in, that became the Ottoman Turk and went into the Crimea area of Russia. And then you had the other group, the Khazars, that broke off and they didn't really start claiming to be Israel until Jews. They didn't actually claim to be Jews as a whole body of people until like the 1200 AD, in the 12th century is when they really start claiming to be Jews. So with that being said, the Dark Ages was coined by an Italian scholar named Francesca Petrarch, who lived from 1304 to 1374. He used this label to describe what he perceived as a lack of quality in the Latin literature of his day. Other thinkers came along and expanded the designation to include not only literature, but also culture in general. The term thus evolved as a designation of the supposed lack of culture and advancement in Europe during the medieval period. The term generally has a negative connotation. Debate continues to rage among the historians, over whether the Middle Ages were indeed dark or not. Increasingly, many scholars are questioning whether the term Dark Ages is an accurate description or not. Dark past of the Middle Ages. The ancient Greek and Roman civilizations were remarkably advanced for their time. Both civilizations made a number of contributions to human progress, notably in the areas of science, government, philosophy, and architecture. Some scholars perceive Europe as having been plunged into darkness when the Roman Empire fell in around 500 AD. The Middle Ages are often said to be dark because of the supposed lack of scientific and cultural advancement. Well, actually, because it was termed the Dark Ages, a shift had happened. And as I said, black rulership failed. And powers were being transferred from the Jacobites to Esau's people, who is Japheth. and Gentile rule. This was Gentile rule who came into effect. So that is why the Dark Ages are termed as such, because a shift that happened and powers transferred. So, the Gentiles had to be taught, like they said, you know, in the areas of science, government, philosophy, and architecture. Even the councils, if you do a study of the councils that are in Rome today, basically in Europe, you will find that they were actually designed by the Moors. And you will find the faces of the Moors on a lot of these, castles. So we must know that the Middle Ages had to go through a shift. And, that is why it is termed as such. But let's go to talk about, I wanted to give you that information on the Dark Ages, because what came up through the Dark Ages was the Roman Empire. You know, it failed, but it transferred over into the political system. It transferred over into the religious system. The Roman Empire took over the church, and they were no longer a civilization anymore, because, like I said, powers shifted, so they couldn't continue. And because of scripture, you know, with prophecy being fulfilled, they could not continue as a nation anymore. But in this end time age, they were to come back up again, as Daniel, you know, tells us about the Roman Empire. That's why in Daniel, it talks about all the kingdoms, you know, that he describes as this statue, and who these kingdoms are and what they will be doing, you know, in the earth, and what, you know, who they're supposed to represent and how this last war will transpire. But let's talk about the red dragon in Rome. So in Revelations 12 and 3, let's start there. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. That's that statue I'm talking about, y'all, in Daniel. Revelations 12 and 4. And he drew his tail, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast to the earth, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now mark that child. Now, talk about Isaiah 66 and 8, because it draws to this point as this child that is being born. This child is us, y'all. Our nation that is coming up at a moment's notice. So you have to tie in Isaiah 66 and 8 along with this scripture in Revelation 12, because these are the same two scriptures talking about this nation that is rising in the earth in this end time. Okay, in Revelation 12 and 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. A third of the angels fell, y'all. The above verses make clear in even superficial reading that the red dragon, the great red dragon, is Satan. But there is another relationship that is not readily apparent. Verse 4 is referring to the birth of Jesus and Satan's attempt to kill the infant Jesus. Satan somehow did not attempt this act of murder on his own. He made his attempt through the power of one man on earth. This man is identified. Okay, and again, that child is Jesus, but Jesus also signifies that nation that's coming up in the earth, which is us, because Jesus. So we must, you know, parallel those two things as well. So you can see and know how all of this fit together. Okay. So Matthew 2 and 13. And when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Herod the Great, the king of Judea and Palestine, was the agent Satan used in his attempt to kill the infant Jesus. It is significant to note that Herod received his office from the Roman Empire. That old dragon, y'all, the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire is who? The church, the Catholic Church and the Vatican. That is the Roman Empire in modern days time. But in 37 BC, Herod the Great conquered Jerusalem with the aid of Roman armies and made himself king. Notice again in Revelations 12 and 3, the Satan is described as having seven heads, 10 horns, and seven crowns. This is important because it is a key to identify Satan and his agents elsewhere in Revelations. Revelations 13 and 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Revelation 13 and 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Here, another agent of Satan can be found. Although nearly identical in description, it is not Satan, because verse 2 says this beast power gets his power from the dragon, a clear reference to Satan. As we observe in Matthew, Satan used the power of the ancient Roman Empire to attempt to murder Jesus. Now, in today's terms, when it says the ancient Roman Empire attempts to murder Jesus, Jesus is the first fruit from among us, the 12 tribes of Israel, y'all. We are the tribe of Judah. Now, in today's term, we're rising up as a nation. Okay, so Satan is going to try to cut off the church, the believers, who are the Gentiles in the church. He's trying to cut them off as well as us. Now, he's got it disguised as the wrong people are being portrayed as the descendants of the children of Israel. So, with that being said, the world's eyes are on the wrong people, whom the people of the world are looking at these greedy Jews who is putting the whole world into bondage, into debt bondage, where they want to make slaves of everybody who is not in the 1%, y'all. So what the Illuminati has planned for the world, yeah, they got a plan for us too. But you must know, that is not meant for us, because we are going to a place of Goshen. But before I get into that, I want to keep you right at this Roman Empire and his attempt to kill, to murder Jesus. But in today's term, he's attempting to wipe out the African Americans. And that's two continents, y'all, which we are not Africans, Americans, two continents. We are Hebrew people who are Africans of the diaspora. So he wants to wipe us out because we are the descendants of the 12 tribes. The dragon and Rome work with the same mind toward the same goal. The dragon is Rome, y'all, and all of their tentacles that are working with Rome in this modern day time. Everybody that's on the same page with Satan. And the way you know that they on the same page with Satan, they lie, 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 like a rug on the floor. They lie about the least little thing. They lie, 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 lie. It doesn't make any sense about how they lie. That is a true picture, a true indicator of whose God people is and who Satan's people is. God's people don't have to lie. We tell the truth. But Satan people, they gonna lie and then try to paint the story a different way and then try to get you to believe. And then they gonna make the story so good until you gonna think that that lie is the truth, because this is Revelations, y'all. And this is the time where a lie is being exchanged for the truth. Isn't that what the word said? Isn't that what the word of God tells us will happen? All these things that the word of God says will happen is happening. Okay? So let's explore this a little further. The animals that I mentioned, they have a meaning too. So let's see what these animals that I mentioned in this statue, you know, that describes who Satan is. You know, these are his powers, his kingdoms in the earth, fighting against God and his children, well, Jesus and his, and the children of God, the descendants and the church, y'all. And this is why I say that the church is gonna have to go through. If Africans of the diaspora, who are God's children, who are displaced in the world, because as I told you guys before, the whole Middle East is out of place. The original people of the Middle East are not there. They have been exchanged for another people. The Ottoman Turks are declaring they are Arabs, but you can trace them in history. They didn't really come in and take, they didn't really come in and start, you know, taking over or even becoming a part of the Arab kingdom until around 1080 or 1090 AD, in the 10th, at the end of the 10th century, almost 11th century, y'all. So you can trace their beginnings. They don't have 3,000 years of antiquity of that being their lineage in those countries in the Middle East. The Middle East is actually the North Asiatic part of Africa. That is our identity. That is who we are. Asiatic Africans of Africa, y'all. The Middle East is called Africa. They tried to part God's land when they put the Suez Canal there, blowing up, you know, that part where that waterway is, and they tried to disconnect it from the, disconnect that part of Africa from the rest of the continent of Africa. But no, y'all, that's where we come from. That is our identity. Okay. And a lot of people want to say we are Ham, that we fall under the curse of Ham, that we are Canaanites. No, we're not Ham. If we were Ham, we would not be suffering, identifying with, Genesis 15, 13 through 14 and Acts 7, 6 through 7, which says we would be strangers in a land not our own. Enslaved, mistreated, and abused for 400 years. And then God would visit them who put us in bondage. And then he would bring us out with great substance. Hey, y'all, we're in those times. And that is who we are. And don't let anybody tell you that you are a Hamite, that you are a Canaanite. We are not Canaanites. We inherited Canaan. There's a big difference. We are not slaves of slaves. That's what that scripture says. That Ham seed will be slaves of slaves. Hence, our ancestors were slaves. Now, the Canaanites will be our slaves. That's what the word says. It's not what I said, so don't get mad at me and don't jump on me, because I'm telling you what scripture says. I can only tell you what God's word says. So, again, Let's get back to what these animals represent in Daniel. Okay, this is a reference back to Daniel 7. John the Revelator was looking backwards in sequence at the previous empires to give us a time to identify this sea beast in the stream of time. Let's see. The lion, which is Babylon, is referred to as the head of gold in Daniel 2. The bear, which is Medo-Persia, is the chest of silver in Dan 2. The leopard, which is Greece, is the thighs of brass in Daniel 2. And there's also a fourth beast in Daniel 7. Those are the legs of iron in Daniel 2. Daniel 7 and 7, after this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet thereof. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. This fourth diverse beast with 10 horns correlates to the ancient pagan Rome. Ancient pagan Rome, when it disintegrated, was followed by the divided kingdoms, which is said to be the divided Europe. You know how Europe has all those countries there? And it's like they're one big country, but they are all divided into different countries, okay? Okay, and those are represented as the 10 toes of clay and iron in Daniel 2. So that's who that statue represents, y'all. Those the ancient Roman Empire. That's who has rule over us. That is why there is not an equal playing field. That is why we are classified as second class citizens. Where in slavery's time, they said we were 3/5 human. God's children, 3/5 human, really? Okay. I guess we must have been alien as well as human, huh? Because there is something special about us. The word says that we are aliens, sojourning in a land. Strangers, y'all. And I told y'all we have this third eye, which is actually in the middle of your brain. Your third eye is your pineal gland. It is a light receptor. As I said, when we were children, playing in that hot sun of the summer times, back in the day, we played in that sun and didn't have a problem with it, didn't fall out, didn't do none of that. But we were drinking up the sun, y'all. So at that due time, this light reflector with this melanated skin is going to shine, is going to produce light, a halo, gonna give us a halo. Just like the pictures in my book. If you look at the pictures in my book, and you can see some of these pictures on my website as well as on my Facebook page, then you will see that we wear halos because of this pineal gland. And hey, that melanated skin, that's the God key, y'all. The melanated skin and the pineal gland. But okay, and that's also a super weapon, y'all. You got to know how to use your super weapon. It's a warfare weapon for such a time as this. Because as I keep telling everybody, we are spirit first. We are spirit beings inhabiting a flesh body in this natural world we live in, having a natural experience. So we have to know who we are, okay? Okay, so let's get back to and I'll tell you how to use your superpowers, which, you know, I've been trying to tell everybody, you know, a little later. The Winged Dragon and Rome. In 312 AD, Emperor Constantine was about to enter into battle with his rival Emperor Maxentius, greatly outnumbered by his opponent armies. Constantine, on the day before the impending battle, saw a vision in the sky of a cross, and he saw a vision in the sky, and it was a vision of a cross with the word in hoc sino crucis vinci emblazoned about it, which means, in this sign, the cross, you shall conquer. He said he saw that as a vision given to him. And that's how we got the cross, y'all. And that's how Constantine used it. He immediately adopted the cross as his emblem and had it put on troops and banners. So that's another clue, you all. Because I told you, Constantine, anything before 1000 AD was black, y'all. When it comes to talking about the Roman Empire, and when it comes to talk about the ancient Roman Empire, was black. Those Caesars, a lot of those Caesars were black, y'all. All of this, I told you, it was the 10 northern tribes who went out into the lands first. You know, they were exiled. So they came and they created these kingdoms before the people who were assigned these nations came into their nations. And when they came into these nations, they were already up and running because God sent out the 10 northern tribes to, you know, make these kingdoms into what they were. So these people, Constantine and all these other people, were black people. So please keep that in mind, so you will know who we are talking about. So anyway, Constantine, and I believe, and in saying that, I believe that, as I was saying before, our kingdoms got together, you know, they went against each other. You know how, you know, you might have a problem with your brother or your cousin, and then, you know, you have a disagreement, and you don't want to do whatever the king is telling you for that different realm. And then you jump up and say, oh no, we going to war because it ain't going down that way. So there was a lot of, you know, wars going on between the 10 northern tribes because, you know, they were Great Britain. They were Scotland. They were Germany. They were, you know, all the different little nations that are within Great Britain. So, you know, they rule those lands. And this, I believe that these black people started this, and when the shift happened, then that's when Yafet, Esau, came in and power shift, and they took over. They took over what Constantine started, what God gave Constantine to start. But Constantine did change the day that we worship. He did change a lot of things. He instituted a lot of things that was against what God's word taught. But it was supposed to be that way because this was Satan's time to rule in the earth. And because we kept worshiping idol gods, Daddy God said he was going to give us just what we worship, just what caused us to fall and made us exiled into where we had to be exiled away from our land, you know, where we had to get thrown out of our land because we would not stop worshiping idol gods. So Daddy God conveniently allowed this to happen in the earth so that Satan could have his time to rule and to come into the church and take over the way he did, and to just confuse knowledge, to where we all mixed up and confused in this day and age. And it's like peeling back layers of onion, of an onion. You know how you unpeel this layer. Then you come find out, man, there's a bunch of lies that tie into this over here. And this understanding goes with this over here. So you have to go through, you have to rightly divide this word of God. And you have to use history books to do it, to see how all of this came together and had happened. So this all started out through black rulership. And when the shift happened, Japheth, Esau came in through Japheth, through Rome, and took over. And then as it said in, I believe that's 1 Maccabees 3 and what, 48, where it tells you how the Gentiles went and changed the likeness of the images in the Bible to fit them. They changed the black faces to white faces. All of this is about race, y'all, at the end of the day. And I know a lot of you don't want to hear about this. I know a lot of you say we all one people, the human, you know, race. But yeah, but no, because there's a difference. And if all, and then a lot of people wants to say, oh, well, black people, like I said, are Canaanites. They're Ham, and they just need to, you know, accept who they are. No, we can't accept who we are because it's like peeling back that layer, those layers of an onion. One thing don't add up to the other, and it becomes a ball of confusion. So no, we can't go with that. We can't go with who the world tells us we are. We have to peel back these layers to find out who we are. And as scripture would have it, when God told me to go to the map in the back of our Bibles and identify us through Noah's three sons, you know, who the nations were under these three sons, all of this don't add up. And I can't just accept who man says that I am. I mean, you know, I'm going to prove this thing because God put it in my heart to prove it. And then when I prove it, the world has to give back everything that was taken from us. That's the whole point of proving who we are, so that all of our wealth, everything that was taken, our wealth, our lands, everything, authority, just like God says, Isaiah 66 and 8, in a moment's notice, we rise into a nation that has never been done before. Israel became a state. It never became a nation because all 12 tribes are not there. They can only say that they are Jews. They are Judah. They can't say that they, and then, you know what? Even in their, the Khazar people who call themselves Jews, even in their literature, in their encyclopedias, they tell you, they cannot call themselves Israelite or Shem. I got a problem with that. Because if you a Jew and you say that you are God's children, you're supposed to be an Israelite and you're supposed to be a Shem. You can't be Japheth and you can't be something else. You can't be another nation. You have to be Shem and you have to be an Israelite. So, with that being said, if they say they can't call themselves those two things, what does that tell you? Peeling back these layers of this onion, y'all, and it's coming up stinking. That odor is loud, and it's telling us something wrong. We ain't who they say we are. So, in saying all of that, it's to say, all of this started off because we are in war among ourselves, and look where it got us. So that must mean we need unity, y'all. We need to become that village again so we can quit warring against each other and knocking us out the box for other people to, you know, continue their rule and conquer over us. So, okay. So anyway, when Constantine saw this cross, the sign of the cross, and says, you shall conquer, you know, in this under this sign, the sign of the cross, then that's when it was adopted. He adopted that sign. And that's why you see on, you know, the shields and everything of the Roman Empire, the cross, because it came through Constantine. Okay, and he was to declare Christianity the state religion of Rome and was himself later baptized as a Christian. But as I said, everything was still black before, Esau and Satan's rulership took effect. Well, it took effect through that. So one of the popes adopted the winged serpent or dragon as his symbol, on his heraldic shield. So that was the pope, that was the coat of arms of Pope Gregory the 13th in 1570, AD. So he's the one who got the coat of arms and a calendar. So you can confirm this in the book, The Pope Encyclopedia by Matthew Bunsen, published by Crown Trade Paperbacks. So go check out that information, The Pope Encyclopedia by Matthew Bunsen, y'all, to see, you know, how, you know, one of the popes adopted, you know, Satan, the dragon, as you know, for his heraldic shield, a symbol on his heraldic shield. And again, this is Satan's time, you know, to rule in the world and to take as many people as he can, you know, with him. So the coat of arms of Gregory the 13th. Let's see. Okay, let's move on from there. It says in 1582, by decree of Gregory the 13th, 10 days were dropped from the calendar and a new system of leap years was inaugurated. So remember the word says that Satan would try to change times, you know, trying to change the times, the calendar and all the things that God had instituted. Well, this is what it's talking about. Well, how they tried to change the calendar, you know, how they instituted the leap year and all of this. Okay, so I have a picture of, you know, the papal medals of Pope Gregory the 13th. They were designed by L. Palm, and it's dated 1582, marking the year of the Gregorian calendar reform. On the reverse of the medal is a winged dragon, serpent, encircling a ram's head. As previously mentioned, the dragon and the biblical symbol of Satan. The dragon is the biblical symbol of Satan. Revelation 12 and 9. Y'all see this thing, y'all? As I say, Hebrew year 5779 is the year of being birthed. Of the true 12 tribes of Israel being birthed into a nation and a church as well, y'all, the Gentile church along with us, because this is a part of, you know, what is supposed to happen with them as well. But the church and the 12 tribes are going to be birthed into a nation. And it's a year of the serpent as well. So it's two sides. It's a year of being birthed, and it's a year of Satan, you know, a year of the snake. He's trying to cut the church and the children of Israel off from being a nation. So this just confirmed it in this word that I'm reading. So the serpent is chasing or devouring its tail. It's called Ouroboros or Ouroboros. The ram's head is also a satanic symbol. and is frequently associated with the Egyptian deities, such as the god Amun, which Amun Ra, the king of all gods, who was also regarded as the sun god, who created mankind on his potter's wheel from the mud of the Nile. The intended symbolic symbol, however, is undoubtedly that of Aries, the ram, the first sign of the zodiac, which symbolizes the vernal or spring equinox. Come on, y'all. What I tell y'all about spring? I told y'all springtime is magical time, y'all. Yes, I told you this is a light reflector. It's going to give us a halo. Springtime. Watch that. Watch that. Watch this word come to pass. That's what the word of God said. Ain't what Sharon said. It's what the word of God says. Okay. So it says the serpent. Okay, the spring, vernal, the spring equinox, and Draco. Draco or Draco, the serpent depicting a silical returning. Pope Gregory XIII had modified the calendar specifically so that the vernal equinox would remain relatively constant on or about March 21st, which is the beginning of the zodiacal year when the sun crosses the equator and enters the astrological sign of Aries. Come on, y'all. It is something significant about this time. God gave me this revelation knowledge. And look here, I'm reading, telling you guys about spring. Something phenomenal is happening this spring. I told y'all, the spiritual chains fall off our hands, the spiritual chains fall off our feet, that yoke on our necks will break off, destroy. All of those chains in that yoke destroyed, y'all. We went into a 400-year punishment. This is all tied together. And you gonna see that special something happen. Something great is about to hit the earth, y'all. And the earth is not, people of the earth is not prepared. That's why it's a time to wake up, y'all. Time to wake up, Jacob. Your name is Israel. And I'm not talking to the ones that are over there in Israel now. Because like I said, you can trace when they came into calling themselves Jews. They are converts. How does a convert become an inheritor? How do a convert become an inheritor, y'all? How they gonna inherit some stuff that they converted to? What sense does that make? That's not even legally theirs. They only holding it down for a 400-year period. But this is about our progenitor's twin, who is the firstborn of Esau and Jacob. Esau is the firstborn. He had the firstborn birthright. That was his because he was the firstborn. And he also had the right to rule by being firstborn. But God would not have it so. God said the older will serve the younger. So Esau will serve Jacob. We are Jacob. Esau became one with Japheth, with Rome. He is no longer Shem. He is Japheth. Please understand that, to understand what this is about and why it is boiling down into a race war. Because you have Esau, who is the firstborn, want to retain that firstborn right and right to rule. But God snatched it away. Even though it was going to be given to Jacob, Jacob got it the way he got it, as being a surplanter. Okay? So, I mean, God still uses all things. He uses all things together for our good. So that is what happened here. So anyway, that's what this age-old fight is about, the right to rule. And who's going to rule? Who's going to have the rural rule? The rural rule, yes. And that's why the modern-day Jews, who are Khazar Turks, have put everybody, the whole world, into bondage to them. They got everybody. You got to borrow money from them if you want your nation to survive. This thing was built on sand, y'all. It was tied to a 400-year curse. They rolled the top in the blessings. We rolled the bottom as the tail with the curses. Now it's going to flip over. And when it flips over, we rise to the top like cream, y'all. And they will go back to being who they were. In Genesis 27, in Genesis 27, it tells of that curse, y'all. It tells about the story of Esau and Jacob. It actually tells about the blessings. But Esau's blessing was actually a curse to him, because it says that our foot would be on their neck. But when he got tired, he would throw our foot up off his neck. But it was time for him to come into rulership, y'all. But the way this thing ends up is they're tied to Satan's kingdom. Satan's kingdom is under our feet. And I told you that I would tell you how to use our superpowers. That is the word of God. Along with this pineal gland, this is our spiritual eye. And when your spiritual eye opens to God's knowledge and understanding, because that is a two-way communication between us and Him, direct two-way communication, then He downloads into us what we need. We need that word, for one, that is our sword, that we slay the defeated demonic foe with the word of God. One puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight. So imagine we all together rocking and grooving, because it goes by praise, and praise is singing the word of God, the word, which is the Bible, those scriptures that we learn, you know, how we bind up Satan and put him under our feet. We loose, you know, the things that God says we can have, the power of God and all those things He said we can have. He said whatsoever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Whatsoever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. So we must know, you know, that word of God is our weapons of warfare. And this spiritual eye makes us manifestors. That's why we have to. We must go back to doing what we used to do back in the day when we had the hieroglyphics on the wall. We had pictures and words. We manifest through pictures and words. What we desire our life to be, those are the words we write, what we desire. Then we get pictures. We put ourselves in those pictures and we look at it day and night. Every time we look at that thing, yeah, that's mine, it belongs to me. Come back into my hands. We manifestors, y'all. All we got to do is see that picture in our head, in our mind's eye, our third eye, and we bring it to pass through manifestation. So that's what the enemy don't want you to know. He don't want you to know how powerful God's word is. He wants you to think the white man wrote the Bible. He wants you to not take this word serious. He don't want this word flowing through your belly like a river of living water for it to come up through your mouth like a sword that conquers, that destroys the defeated demonic foe, because they under our feet. So we got to know this thing, y'all. So yeah, around Easter, it says that the desired result of returning Easter is the time specified by the Nicene Council of 325 AD. This had a desired result of returning Easter to the time specified by the Nicene Council of 325 AD. So they designed this calendar where that Easter would return in the springtime, you know, when Jesus was with Yahshua. At the time, his name was Yahshua. And when the world got him, his name changed to Jesus, the Greek name, because it was the king's language. Okay, that was the kingdom rule through the Europeans, through you know, not the Europeans, but through the nations that were being ruled, you know, through the Jacobites. All of this started under them and then transferred over to, you know, the rulership that it is now today, when the power shift and everything changed. Okay, it says a Gregorian calendar reform. It says, okay, the tomb of Pope Gregory the 13th, which celebrates the Gregorian calendar reform. It says the tomb of Pope Gregory the 13th, which celebrates the Gregorian calendar reform. I have another picture, and it's showing me the close-up of the guardian dragon. There's a dragon sitting on top of this tomb, and it's there to guard. It's a guardian dragon near the base of the monument, and at the top of the monument is a large heraldic shield of Gregory the 13th, which contains the winged dragon, a symbol of Satan. So know what we're going into, y'all, this season that we're about to go into. We're going back to what once was, which is that old great dragon. He never went nowhere, y'all. He just hid himself in the Roman Empire rule of the Vatican. This is where all this stuff is coming out of. Then it says the second pope, Paola the Fifth, 1605 through 1621, also used the winged dragon on his heraldic shield along with an eagle. In the Vatican Garden, we know who the eagle is, right? Symbolizes, that's America, right? There is a fountain called the Fountain of Towers, bearing the inscription and papal shield of Paola the Fifth, in which the central figure of the fountain is a winged dragon centered in the water spouts. Flanking either side of the fountain are fortresses like towers topped by sculptures of winged dragons. So y'all better know that this Roman Empire thing is real. The dragon is real. And he's coming for your souls. You better know this word of God. But this says that we are living in a time, the time of Jacob, Jacob's troubles. But the word of God says that Jacob will be saved out of it. So a remnant has to come through, because the way we're going through this thing, the 400 year punishment, this was all through the example of Job. God gave us through the example of Job, how Job was a righteous man. He did nothing to no one. But God told Satan, consider my servant Job. Job had a righteous heart, y'all. He had the right mindset and the right heart. He would never turn his back on God. He would never say anything against God. That's how God is bringing us through this 400-year period we have to go through. With a righteous mind and a righteous heart. We did nothing to no one. These people came and said that they discovered America, y'all. They said they discovered America. And in discovering America, they took the Amerindians, the brown-skinned, copper-colored people from this country and shipped them out of this land into other countries. Okay? And then they went to Africa and they took us from Africa and brought us into this land. So this was a two-way deal, y'all, moving people out and bringing people in. And they used us in the form of slavery. They used us, you all. So with saying all of that, we're coming out of this thing. And this thing was only a punishment that's coming to an end. And it is a rude awakening for the world. The world will wake up to suddenly, we rise into a kingdom. Suddenly, we are known to, the world will know who we are, who we truly are as the children of Israel. We will be suddenly, it will be all of a sudden, just like this, I'm giving you information on who we are. Other people are giving you information on who we are and whose we are. All this information is coming up because suddenly, all of a sudden, we rise into a nation. Then people are going to say, yeah, I heard that lady talk about this. Yeah, I heard this guy talk about this. Yeah, I heard them teach on this. Because it's time for this knowledge to come, you know, into the people's hearing, into the people's ears. The people have to know what this is all about because our realities are about to change. We are about to come into who we truly are. So welcome to the spiritual awakening, y'all. And with saying that, I'm going to close up for talking about the red dragon in Rome. And we're going to pick up with this again because we're living in some times, y'all, where it is a great time to be alive in this earth. And I'm also giving a poetry night event called Mothership Rising. It will be at the Swift Mansion, which is located at 4500 South Michigan, on January 25th, 2019, from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. And I will have a host of different poets there. And they will enlighten you on more of what this is, what this is all about, with some praise, hey, with some music, and with a bunch of excitement. So come on out. Invite your friends. Tickets are $15. Go to my webpage, www.EmpressEme.com. And you can pay for that event online. Or it'll be $20 at the door. Free food, free drinks, and free parking. So come on out and visit us. Have a good day, everybody. Until next week. Goodbye.